Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, A to Z English Podcast listeners, it's Jack here. And we just want to announce that we are now on WeChat. Our WeChat ID is A to Z English Podcast. That is A to Z English Podcast. One word, all lowercase. And if you join the group, you'll be able to talk with me. You'll be able to talk with Social. And we can answer your questions. We can read your comments on the podcast. So we'd love for you to join us and be active in our WeChat group. Our WeChat ID is A to Z English Podcast. Thanks. See you on the app. Welcome to the A to Z English Podcast. My name is Jack, and I'm here with my co-host, Social. And today we're doing a topic talk episode. And we're talking about the future of ESL or the future of EFL, English as a second language or English as a foreign language. And I've got a lot of opinions about this, Social, because my job is here in Korea. I teach at a university. And so I'm always listening and trying to predict what the future of the industry might be, because it kind of greatly affects my my livelihood, my ability to have a job and earn an income. And I've got my opinions about it. What are your opinions about the future of ESL? What do you think the future might bring?
You know, I haven't been in the industry nearly as long as you have, Jack. So I feel like by the time that, you know, because of my age, I'm younger and everything, by the time I graduated college and everything like that, that the industry was already taking a nosedive while I was, you know, in college, I would say.
Right.
And, you know, the writing has been on the wall for a while that there's, especially with the pandemic and a lot of people doing the nomad lifestyle and teaching classes online. And then there were certain difficulties with getting visas and staying in different countries during the pandemic. And there were, you know, a lot of complications because of COVID that created a ripple effect of a lot of systemic changes that were, I think, already kind of on the fringe before, but definitely kicked up during and after the pandemic. And how do I say this? I'm not really sure about the future. I do know that it's not as lucrative a business, you know, as it used to be. I would say definitely people who are in ESL now, it's kind of like a labor of love. And it used to be that, you know, 20 years ago, your starting pay in a job like what you would get paid in Korea was the same as what you get paid now. And of course, it went a lot farther 20 years ago.
Things are more expensive now. Inflation has basically cut that by a third.
The buying power of that same quantity, it's just not what it used to be.
Right.
So I don't know. And I think that also dissuades some people from, you know, taking the route of moving to another country, because it takes a lot of money, which a lot of people also aren't aware of, to move out to another country. Yeah, in Korea, like, you get an apartment provided and you get a lot of benefits, but just the visa process alone, plus they reimburse you for your flight ticket after like a year of contract, but you have to pay the money up front. And a bunch of those related charges, you know, we're talking about hundreds or over $1,000. And then, you know, your pay is just so-so. I think it makes a lot of people question whether they want to be, like, worked to the bone in some of these jobs. So I think on both ends, both for, you know, schools that are hiring teachers from outside of the country, when they, I think it's also become a thing of, why should I go through the hassle of hiring someone from outside of my country and paying for their health check and paying for their visa sponsorship and all, and, you know, making sure they are who they say they are, doing a background check and receiving all these documents and processing them. Like, why should I go through all this trouble when I can get someone in my own country with, thanks to globalization and better education tools, they might speak, you know, perfect English, and I can just get someone who already knows the culture as well, and who I won't have to worry about, like, holding their hand and walking them through the process of moving to a new country.
Yeah.
And from the teacher's perspective, it's like, why should I uproot my whole life? I mean, a lot of people do anyway because of the adventure aspect. But at the same time, it's like, why should I uproot my whole life to make minimal pay, you know, when I could just vacation there instead, or, you know, whatever. So I think both of those things are having an impact on the current market. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think you're right on. I think you're on target there, on the mark. There's kind of two different boxes that I am thinking about, the two kind of categories. The first one is what you're talking about. It's like, there's plenty of capable people in Korea and Japan and China who speak English very well, who can teach, who are Chinese or who are Korean or who are Japanese. They can teach people in their own country. You know, they're like, why do you need to bring in an expensive foreigner to teach English when you can get just the same quality from someone from your country, and it's probably much cheaper to, you know, you can avoid all the other expenses, you know, the travel expenses and the bonuses and stuff like that, that they have to offer to attract people from other countries to come here. Also, I think the fascination with, like, English is starting to wear off a little bit. Like, it's not, I don't know. It's not as, how can I say it?
People are thinking, like, it's not, like, indispensable now that you know English.
Yeah, right. It's not as special as it maybe once was, or, you know, I mean, I think it's more of a, I think people are learning it, because English is still the de facto international business language. Like, that's the way companies or people in companies will communicate with each other internationally. They'll use English as the common language. But that takes me to the other side of the issue, which is the technology. You know, you could write a form letter in seconds using ChatGPT in perfect English, whereas before you had to study really hard and understand all the grammar and then write the letter yourself. You know, now it'll just spit out a perfect English form letter, or any letter, for you immediately. if you just type in a few prompts. And that's a big change. That was a big game changer, I think. And the other thing is, I think the technology is going to get better. Apps like Papago or Google Translate are able to take a foreign language and translate it into English in a very almost perfect manner. Like it's quite accurate. And it used to be really not accurate, inaccurate. It used to be nonsense. It was really funny, actually, when I would read essays that were translated through Google Translate, because it was so obvious. Yeah, it was like something like I don't know, it just bizarre, crazy things that I read there. And now it's much more accurate. So you've got tools that are getting better and better for people to translate. And then finally, in the future, I think, it's going to be to the point where you might be able to put like an AirPod in your ear and speak your native language. And the other person that you're talking to is going to hear English in their earpiece. And then they'll speak into their device, and the other person will hear their native language. And so conversations will be totally capable or possible between two people who don't speak any common language. It might not be smooth, as smooth as doing it in real time. But as the technology gets better, I think it might become seamless, where the conversation is very easily had between two people using technology. But I still think there's going to be a desire among a certain group of people to learn the language the old-fashioned way, just for their own,
self-improvement,
shall we say, like edification, their own satisfaction. Of being able to say, I'm a bilingual person, I speak English and I speak Chinese or Spanish or Japanese or whatever. And they'll get better positions in companies, I think, because they'll be able to sit down and have a negotiation, a conversation in English with someone. And that would be, it'll still be a benefit for people, but there's going to be other avenues that people can use, other methods that are going to be not as good as learning the language, but still allow them to communicate on some level. And so the more that this technology gets better and advances, the less you need there is for, foreign teachers to teach English in countries like Korea and China and Japan. And so I see it becoming less and less necessary between having local people do it and then also using the technology as it gets better. And you put the you combine those two together, and it's to me it's like bye bye birdie, goodbye to my job, So I worry about that. Not that much, because I'm already, almost 50 years old. So the age of retirement is not far away for me, really. So I think I'll be able to hang in there but I think I got lucky. Just I'll be one of the last of the groups of people of my generation.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Be the last group that kind of does it this way, and some new model and some new method is going to emerge. And I'm not sure if that will include foreign English teachers or not. I'm not sure. No one can tell the future, but I'm just a little bit concerned for young people teaching English in Korea, whether they're still going to have a job 5, 10, 15 years from now. I'm not sure.
Are you, how do I say this? Are these positions, like the one that you have, are they tenured positions? Like,
is no. There such... We're contract workers, you know, so we, we get 2-year contracts. And so that, you know, we keep resign 2-year contracts. So yeah, there's no guarantee for me. If it goes away, I have to, you know, and I'll be kind of old to be looking for a new career. You know, it'll be very difficult for me to find another job. I don't think I'm suitable really for anything else other than teaching English as a second language, to be honest. It's all I've done for the last 20 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's
scary.
Absolutely wild to think about. It's like, I didn't really realize that the positions were like so what do you mind me asking, what position, like what is it called? Like, are you like a professor's aide, or are you like a,
So, my official position is associate professor.
Okay. So you're an associate professor. So
that's
wild to me that you would have an associate professor on a 2-year contract.
Yeah. There's a lot of contract workers. Yeah. 10 years really, you know, for the PhDs, you know, people who are doing research, you know, I'm not a researcher. I'm basically a teacher, you know. I mean, I don't even like the word professor. In America, we don't, if you teach at a university, you are a professor. I mean, that's basically the way that works. We just have one word for it. Here, you know, in a lot of countries, they have a lot of different names for the different levels. And I don't know what all those are in Korean, but I know that my level is not, you know, it's not the high up level. I'm a contract worker. The contract has always been guaranteed, you know, so I've never worried about not getting another contract. What I worry about are those things that I was talking about before, is that when it gets to the point where we're no longer needed, and the school really has to, assess to whether this is even necessary anymore, given the new technology, given the skills of current teachers here in Korea, do we need these foreign faculty? And that is, and I don't blame them either. I mean, it's just like the way things progress and things happen. You become redundant, as we say in English. There's just no, it's you're not needed anymore because there are other things or other people that can do the same thing that you're doing, and so you become kind of what's the word I'm looking for? You become unnecessary, I guess.
Yeah, but, well, I have a counterpoint, actually, to this thought process that I just thought of as I was listening to you talking to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as someone who grew up as a balanced bilingual, I think the language, like, even if we get AI to perfectly, simulate language and have a seamless conversation between two people, language is so cultural. There's so many cultural aspects to learning a language, and I think those will always be important to experience and master on so many levels, on economic scale, because, like, if you're working in business or client relations or whatever, you're going to have to know about the other person's culture. As an appreciative measure, so you can truly understand the culture on a different level, like on a deeper level. There's so many reasons why I think that learning a language has a deeply cultural component that's important that can't be replicated through AI, and that won't be able to be replicated through a person, like, for example, a Korean person or a Chinese person teaching English. Just like when I was in college and I was learning Mandarin Chinese, we had a professor from China, visiting professor from China, every year, and they would have 2-year contracts as well. And they would be part of our class structure. And I think it was really important because they brought cultural knowledge, cultural components. They brought expressions that were only used, that, like, our professor who wasn't Chinese wouldn't have, like, really known. Like, yeah, he spoke completely fluent Chinese, you know what I mean? But he still wouldn't have had that cultural component because he didn't grow up in the culture. Even though he had lived abroad, even though he spoke perfect Chinese, he was lacking those cultural components that we got and appreciated so much from the visiting professor from China.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a great point. Yeah.
So I'm hoping, yeah. I'm hoping that there will still be institutions that value that,
Yeah.
Because, I'm kind of thinking about getting back into the ESL game. I mean, I'm still in it. I haven't left it because we do the podcast and we have the English Corner, but
yeah,
just getting back into it as a full-time job, just because we talked about this many times before, but, a job in Korea is like life in a bottle, and there are so many benefits that are hard to come by in a job in the U.S., like great healthcare, the pension, things that are just kind of becoming obsolete as benefits in any position in the U.S., whether it be entry level or even further up the ladder. It's like, yeah, those kind of benefits were for Gen Xers and older, and you can't get them really anymore as a millennial or Gen Z entering the workforce. And so I think that's something that's very attractive to me as someone looking to go back to teach English, full time in a foreign country. There are so many benefits that would be hard to come by here.
Yep.
And yeah, so it's definitely something that I'm interested in. And so I'm hoping that that aspect, the cultural aspect and the aspects of language that can't be replicated through AI, I'm hoping those will still be valued down the line. I can keep a job,
Yeah. I mean, and I think that you might be right, because we do the Idiom Academy. I mean, how are you gonna explain, how is AI gonna understand all the nuances of the language when, and translate it in a way that's going to capture the nuance. You know, a lot of the times when I explain an idiom or a phrasal verb meaning to a student, I have to explain the context of like the culture and say like, well, in American culture, we do this. And so because we do this, we say this. And yep. because this thing that we do kind of relates to what you're trying to describe, you know, metaphorically, we say this. But I mean, that's a lot of frog leaping from the actual, you know, expression to the meaning. And I'm not sure I'm not sure that there's any AI, or at least right now, any translation device that's able to really capture you know, specifically the nuance of the meaning or the context of the meaning necessarily. And that might be the thing that saves us, is that,
hopefully,
yeah. the culture, you're not just teaching the language, you're teaching the culture, and the two are kind of woven together like a rug, you know. It's, you can't separate them.
There's a language is just a rich tapestry that weaves together so many things. It includes culture, history, expressions, and so much of language is also physical. Like, there's so many gestures that are unique to, you know, different countries and different languages. Like in Spanish, in Mexico specifically, I don't know about other Spanish speaking countries, but when we're agreeing with someone while they're talking, a lot of times you like replicate a head nod with your index finger. And so when foreigners see that, they're like, what is that gesture? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you have to explain, oh, they're agreeing with them, but they don't want to interrupt or whatever. So they're, you know, and similar, like in Korean culture, when you hand things to an elder, you use both hands because that's respectful.
Yeah.
There's so many tiny nuances. I think it's going to take at least another like 100 years for AI to get all of that down, I think.
I hope so.
So
yeah, that would be great. That would give me enough time, plenty of time to finish my career at the same institution. That's the counterpoint. I mean, that you know, I think for simple sentences and easy stuff, it's going to be, the translation tools are good. But when it comes to you know, the particular, you know, contexts and the nuances, I don't know if there's any AI that can really capture that properly. And so, yeah, that may be the one saving grace for our jobs. Yeah.
Well, let's hope that it is. And I'm curious to hear from our students this time. I really, really want to know what you guys think about the future of ESL, because you guys are students of, you know, English as a foreign language. A lot of you guys are in our English corner, which, shameless plug here, our English corner runs Monday through Friday for an hour a day. And we have a lot of discussions like this. This might actually be an interesting discussion to posit in the English corner actually coming up. I'm very curious to know what you guys think. So make sure to leave us a comment down below at atozenglishpodcast.com. Shoot us an email at atozenglishpodcast@gmail.com. Jack and I really love to get your emails. And make sure you join the WhatsApp and WeChat group to join the conversation. And again, if you were interested in our English corner, make sure that you message Jack or I or the A to Z English Podcast on WeChat or WhatsApp. And we'll make sure to get back to you with more information about that. And I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.